So I'm going to try and simplify things for us this morning, which is always a good plan. I'm going to try and stick to the 20 minutes-ish. But yeah, try and keep it simple. Try and keep it short. That is the plan. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn. I'm just going to read one verse to us. It's from John's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the verse. My sheep, they know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God has a voice, and not just that, he speaks. And he doesn't just speak into the air or to things, he speaks to us. And this has completely filled my vision this week as I prepared this. This verse just jumped out at me. My sheep, they know my voice. God has a voice and he speaks. He speaks to all sorts of things, but he speaks to you and I. I hope we're going to get this morning. This is it. God speaks to us. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. Are we listening? Are we hearing? That's the question. I remember years ago, I think I've referenced this once before, there was this really obscure program on Channel 4, as is often the case, but it was about silence. I've tried to find it, and I've never managed to track it down. I don't think it was very popular, it was quite boring, but it was about just a few people that just sort of lived in silence for, I can't remember how long, like a month, say, and they went to some private property somewhere, and it was nice, and there was nice grounds. And they sort of picked a few people from different backgrounds. But there was this one guy, his name was like Peter or something. And he was just like a sort of quiet, sort of normal chap, really. He didn't have a big story. There wasn't anything particularly dramatic about him. But I've never, ever forgotten. I can't remember what happened to the other people. But this guy, he was absolutely moved. In his whole being was just moved. And he got to the end of the whole process, and they were hearing his feedback. And he'd been silent for about a month or whatever it was. And he said, you know, I've never done that before. And he said, in the silence, he said, I heard a voice speak to me. And he just spoke to him and said, Peter, or whatever, I've always loved you. And clearly it was God just speaking to the man. And it completely changed his life. He was undone. They didn't really allow him to go on and elaborate as to what he did. But you could see the man, he was broken by it. I think he made the comment that he'd lived all his life in this frenzy. And then he heard this voice of love, and it just changed everything. And incredible, isn't it, that we can live like that. And then just even to a man who's not even really seeking, he just goes quiet, and then God's voice comes and speaks to a man. God has a voice, and he speaks. And this morning, really, all I'm doing is suggesting this is pretty much the single most important part of our lives. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's it. This is my mission to simplify Christianity for us this morning. I'll never forget years ago, I was at a meeting on the other side of the city with a few church leaders, and we were giving advice and talking to the Christian Union committee, the exec committee. And they were, as is every year, they come round, they ask advice about this, that, and the other, and they were asking advice about Missions Week. What should we do? And they were sort of all in a frenzy, and, you know, well, last year they did this, 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 and this, and this, and they did 5 days of this, 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 and this, and this. And, you know, we have to do this, and maybe we could not do this, but these things we've got to do, because that's what you do. And one of the church leaders just sort of said, guys, right, fair enough, they're all really great ideas. He said, but let me just boil it down for you. He said, you're saying you have to do this, and you have to do that. All you actually have to do is find out what Jesus wants you to do and do that. That's it. And it was so they could go under the weight off of them. They were like, oh, I reckon we might be able to do that. And he was like, look, just table all of that and just focus on what really matters. And what really matters is, Lord, actually, forget years gone by. What do you want us to do? Hear his voice and then follow him. That's it. That's it. Sounds so simple. And yet we sort of find it so difficult. You know, you could read a book about the 7 spiritual keys of this or that, but this is it, isn't it? God has a voice. He uses it to speak to us. And if we hear it and do it and follow him, we walk in the Spirit and we walk in his life. And that is all we are trying to do, hear his voice and follow him. As a father to young children, I find myself asking questions which I think God often asks too, because he is a father. He probably asks them in a nicer tone or a more godly way, but often the things, if you come to our house, or in fact, if you hang around any parent for long enough, you will hear things like, "Where are you going?" You know, it's quite cross. What are you doing? And the original cry of God to man, "Where are you? Where are you going?" You see kids, don't you? Like, just they just power on over there. And you just, where are you? We're all going this way. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, sure. What are you doing as well? And most of the time, the answer is, "I don't know." But they do it assertively. "What are you doing?" As they're like dripping in honey and stuff off the worktop and there's milk everywhere. And "What are you doing?" "I don't know." But all these questions, they resonate with me. "Johnny, where are you going?" It's like this wakes you up, doesn't it? And it's like, "I don't know." "Lord, I don't know. Actually, it's a good question. I'm just sort of doing this and I don't know why." "Johnny, what are you doing?" Again, often, "I don't know, Lord." But this is what I found myself doing passionately, and I can't really give a good answer as to why. And "Johnny, where are you? I'm speaking, but whatever you're doing, you're not hearing it." It's incredible, isn't it, that we're made in his image. The same questions as we raise children, he undoubtedly asks me the same often. But I think what we try and do, what we tend to do, and we'd never say this out loud, or we'd never agree to it on paper, and even now say it, you'll say, "Oh, no, no, no." But this is what we do, is we actually tend to just try and fit God into our own lives. And the voice that we hear the most is almost certainly always ours. Because we come, and what we tend to do is we announce to God and we tell God our plans, and then we pray about those plans to him. And if you think about it, we do this, and the only voice I'm hearing is mine as I say, "Lord, this is essentially what I'm going to do, and now let me ask for your blessing on what I want to do." And all the while, again, it's like one of the kids. I come as a child and I do this. I'm not hearing his voice, I'm hearing mine, and then asking him to bless my voice. But the kids will often come, especially in the summer holidays, and they'll say, "Right, we've got it. You're going to get in the truck. We're going to drive to Waitrose. You're going to buy us loads of sweets and ice creams. And then we're going to come back. And then we're going to go over here. And then for lunch, we're just going to have ice creams and this, this, and this." And you wait for it all to unravel. And then you just go, "Yeah, we're doing none of that." That's not happening. That's complete not happening. And then the kids go, "Oh, right. Okay." But that's essentially what we do. We come, we fill all our prayer time with our own voice and, "Lord, this is what's going to happen. I really want you to bless it." And the only voice we're hearing is ours. We're exactly the same as children. And so rather, I'd suggest that our daily approach, and this is, I'm challenging myself, but it's a real challenge to all of us, because I just don't think we do this, and I think it should be our highest priority. As a daily approach, we should wake up, and as we come to have whatever it is, as we open our Bibles and we spend time with him, the first thing out of our mouths, along with "Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy this morning, for your grace, for your new life given to me," is then, "Lord, speak to me. May I hear your voice today." How often do we do that, honestly? Because I'm shocking at it. Again, I'm taught preaching to myself. I wake up and I tell, my voice is the one that rings out. But why can't I just simplify things? Because I don't really need to figure it all out. All I need to do is hear his voice and then follow it. "Come on, Johnny, you can do that. That's simple." But how often do I do it? How often do we do it? How often really are we there today? Have we woken up and said, "Jesus, speak to me today. Please, Lord, let me hear your voice. Your voice above all the other voices. Please, Lord," the hunger for it. No doubt in my mind he will speak to us. But I just think we don't ask, and therefore we don't have. But God speaks. And not only do we need to come daily as an approach and say, "Lord, let me hear your voice today. Speak to me and I'll follow you." But that's the point. It's hearing his voice. And then there is a willingness, a submission to say, and I will do that. Because he's not always going to say things that we want to hear, is he? But the hunger and the prayer actively, Lord, speak to me today, and then I will follow. I can't really simplify any more than that, but I'm loving it at the moment. Because like the guy in the meeting on the other side of the city said, that's actually all that matters. It's all that matters for me, for you, for this church, for everything that we do. That is the foundation of everything. What's God saying? Then that's what we'll do. Even if it doesn't make sense or it looks random, and it often looks random, actually, but we're going to get to that. But it's Samuel 3, isn't it? We know the story of Samuel, Eli and Samuel, and he had to learn, actually. You know, he went to Eli and kept hearing the voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. It's a well-known bit of scripture. We haven't got time to read it. And eventually Eli realizes what's happening. He says, no, actually, God's speaking to you. So that's the voice of God. And he has to learn what that voice sounds like. But that's what sheep do. And then we recognize it. And he says, you know, famously, he calls him. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And then he gets the response of, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm listening. And again, that's the challenge. Is when God's saying, Johnny, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where are you? Is for me to say, yeah. And then my response needs to be, right, shush all of that. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm actually listening. Because so often I'm not. I'm just rushing around, busy. It's incredible as well. This is like a little aside, but I love these little thoughts. This struck me once, and I've never really recovered from it. It's amazing, the thought. You read that story, and God says, Samuel, Samuel. It's his voice. It's the same voice that also said, let there be light. Or, let's make man in our image. You know, the same voice that said that, that spoke to Solomon, that spoke to Samuel. It's the same voice that we hear when we're quiet, like the man on Channel 4, that says, Johnny. It's like, wow, it's incredible. And that voice, God's voice, is speaking every day. Am I listening? That's the challenge. I really am challenging myself. It is amazing. He speaks to you. He speaks to us. The same God of all creation who said those words, he's wanting to speak to us. So how? How does he do it? This is the question on all children's lips. Where is he? why can't I hear him? Can't see him, I can't hear him. So how? Sometimes, and again, I'm suggesting this, we seek him actively for a time. Speak, Lord. I need to hear your voice about this. And again, we often do that about something. I'm suggesting this morning a new way of life where just every day we just need to hear God. It's not going to happen. Every day you're not going to hear some wonderful new revelation. It's just not the way life works, but it's where we need to be coming from as a priority in life. So sometimes we seek him. And when we seek, we find. When we ask, it's given to us. He speaks to us. And sometimes, of course, he just appears. And this is by far my sort of preferred, favourite method of God speaking to me. Because it's always that moment of, you don't expect God. It's all, you see this in the Bible, the appearances. God appeared to Abraham and just spoke to him. Abraham hadn't done anything at that point. In fact, he'd been 13 years of sort of nothing. And then God just appears. And we could all, it'd be a great Sunday if we all sort of had testimonies of the moment God has just appeared. I can think of several in my life where it's just been so powerful, where I'm not praying, I'm not doing anything, and then all of a sudden, he appears, and you know he's there, and he just speaks to you, and you think, oh, God is here. I remember once, when I lived in Liverpool, I had a job that was killing me. It was the hardest, I've talked about it a lot, it's the hardest, most intense few years of my life, and I jumped in the van one morning, and I think I jumped in, I turned the keys, and the radio was on from the evening before or something, and it was the Bee Gees, Staying Alive, was on, right? Which is a tune. So that went up. And then I started to drive down the road, but I remember, as I jumped in the van and shut the door, it's as if, and this sounds really random, but it was so real to me, it was as if Jesus hopped in the passenger seat and shut the door at the same time, and we set off, and all the way, listening to the Bee Gees, Jesus just ministered to me that morning. It was so powerful, just his prayer. And it was a gift to me. I don't really know what happened, but I knew God was with me. And I needed that level of just ministry, because I was going to have a full, it was the worst period of my life. And it was God's kindness and goodness to me. We've just sung about it, that he just appeared to me during Staying Alive by the Bee Gees and continued to minister. I love it when he just appears. And often, again, it will be in the busiest, most hectic moment, and you'll suddenly just think, is God trying to speak to me here? And it would be madness. But he loves to do it. It just appears. It says, Johnny, don't forget about this. Or just, I love you. You're doing really well. You know, and it just completely undoes you in a moment. And you're just, you're trying to, and it's, where did you, he just appears. It's absolutely my favorite way that he speaks. Sometimes he'll just catch our attention with something. You'll see a book with a title, or you'll be reading about something with a book, and then you'll hear it in a song, and then someone in Connect Group will talk about it, and you just think, hang on. And he'll catch your attention, and you think, I think God's trying to speak to me. And again, it's the same thing of, you know, Samuel, Johnny, whoever, is trying to speak. And we've got to recognize those moments and learn, like Samuel, to say, right, I'm listening. Speak, Lord. Sometimes we cry out to him and then he speaks. But often he has to lead us to a point that actually causes us to cry out and for him to speak. And, you know, we don't like those moments. That's when God's gone quiet or we feel lost. Or, you know, again, we've done our own thing. We end up here, or here. But often as well, God actually leads us through hard things. Those few years I had on that site, God led me through them. It wasn't an accident. I wasn't being persecuted by the devil, having such a hard time. God asked me to do that. And we were talking about this at Connect Group recently. Anyone who knows dogs or has walked dogs, there comes a point where sometimes they don't want to go down anywhere, and they just have this response of pause down, stop, like that, don't they? And then you're like left with this dead weight on the lead, and it's like, come on, this way. But they don't want to go. And we so often have that response as Christians. When we see it coming, you know, you see something, or you see an illness or a drama, and you just think, oh, no. And you'd freeze like the dog, and the Lord says, come on, we're going to walk through that. And it's often in those times, again, that when we walk through them, again, we submit and we follow, that we find we cry out because we're walking. It's difficult. And that's right that we share in those things, and he speaks to us in those moments. It's great. He speaks. He can speak through, obviously, this amazing book that we have of Revelation of God himself. Like Spurgeon said, visit many good books, but live in the Bible. That's right. That's good. And he will speak to us through books. He will speak to us through his precious word. He will speak to us through other people. He'll speak just by how they live, maybe. Or often you'll recognize this in a conversation. Again, they won't even necessarily know they're doing it, but they'll say something and you think, oh, again, as sheep, we hear his voice and we know it. And we think, Lord, you've got me there. I think you're trying to say something, and you can pick up on it. Sometimes other people will just bring you the word of the Lord, and that is a gift, just outright. I think God wants to say this to you. He'll speak to us through prophecy and preaching, hopefully. He will speak, depending on who you are, through art, music, beauty, any number of ways through creation and spectacular views. I was convinced and sort of regenerated, sat on a clifftop in Cornwall, just looking out. Again, a little bit like this guy on Channel 4. And something just happened in me where I knew all of a sudden, and I can't really put it more than this, I knew that God was real and that Jesus was his son. And it was all true. And that was it. And it was from there that I went and found some people and said, I'd like to become a Christian. So he can speak through all sorts of different ways. Worship. And of course, he can just speak straight to our hearts in his still, small voice. Right into our inner being. Again, those moments are so precious, aren't they? When you just stop and you hear God say to that man, I've always loved you. Those little moments. Oh, it's epic. God speaks. So God has a voice. And we are to know it. And he knows us. And we follow him. That's it. What is God saying to you? It's always a challenge, isn't it, when you meet some really, you know, out there Christian who's really extroverted, and they say, oh, Johnny, what's God been saying to you recently? And you have that little mad panic of like, has he said anything? I hope so. This or whatever, hopefully. But it always just throws you, doesn't it, when someone says, what's God been saying to you recently? And you think, sometimes you just say, oh, not a lot. I don't know, actually. Let me try and correct that. What is God saying to you? When was the last time God spoke to you? What would be one of the things, if we had a testimony morning, where you would say, yeah, actually, God, I sought the Lord and he spoke to me. Or I cried out and he spoke to me. Or, like you, I was doing this and he appeared to me. Or whatever it is. But when was the last time that happened? Have you ever heard God speak to you? Do you think? Because this is it. My sheep know my voice. And so that's what we've got to be hearing. So much Christian staleness, and essentially religion, isn't it, stems from a lack of this. God's living word. Yes, this. Yes, the book. Yes, structure. Yes, truth. But without his living word, we've got nothing, have we? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we live. And so we must hear him. And so it's the John 10, it's the Samuel. We must learn what his voice sounds like, and we must learn how to say, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening. And it is so important that we do. Otherwise, again, we fall into the trap of essentially listening to ourselves, leaning on our own understanding, and this is why I said I'd come to this later on, leaning on our own logic, actually. A lot of people are wired that way, and it is a huge stumbling block to them, because some people are just deeply logical. But here's a great revelation for us if you do find yourself in that camp. God does not trade in logic. He does not trade, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, in reasonable requests. So when everything looks right to you and you think, yeah, that makes sense, it probably isn't. Because Jesus was nothing short of a nightmare to follow and to predict what on earth was going to happen next. And so it shouldn't really be any different in our lives. Think about it. The completely unreasonable, unpractical suggestions that came out, commands that came out, not suggestions. You know, there's thousands of people here, Jesus, and we've only got 5 loaves and like a little bit of this. Oh, well, sit them all down and just feed them. What? Look, we've got 2 fish. Like, yeah, sit them down and just feed them. It's like, it's not reasonable, is it? If you suggested that in a sort of team meeting, there'd be a problem. People would be like, Johnny, not a very good suggestion. Or we've run out of wine at the wedding. I've asked Jesus to sort it out. Yeah, bring me all of them. Bring me all those massive jugs and just fill them with water. You'd be like, why? Why do you want me to do that? I don't want to do that because then I'm going to just pour water out, aren't I? And you're going to look really, you know, go and serve the mother of the bride. And you'd be like, sure. You know, it's not reasonable at all. Or, this is one of my absolute all-time favourites, does your teacher not pay tax? Do you not pay tax? Jesus, what do you think? Yeah, I pay tax. And you show me the coin. I'll tell you what, we need to pay for the two of us. So go fishing, throw a hook into the sea, and the first fish you pull out, in its mouth will be a coin. Pull it out, pay the tax money. What's that about? It's completely unreasonable, isn't it? But this is what I mean. Our life often looks like, yes, that's good, that looks logical, excellent. It's probably something's wrong in that mix. I'll never forget the Bible guy, Andy Ollerton. I did a seminar session, he was there, it was quite small. He was on my table and we chatted about a few things. He's a really cool guy, obviously great Bible knowledge. But he made a point, someone asked him about his own personal devotional time in the seminar. And he said this. He said, but what we all need to remember is this, is that I don't read the Bible because it's agreeable to me. You know, that's not why I devour the book. But that's such a good comment. Because I don't read this because it's agreeable to me. I don't read this and think, yes, I think everything that's in there. Of course we don't. But I believe it's God's word. Therefore, I read it to submit to it. And in the same way, if everything that I am doing seems agreeable to me, or everything that I think God is asking me to do is agreeable to me, there's something probably wrong there. because God thinks different things to me. And so therefore, I need to hear his voice so that he can say something to me that's completely disagreeable and that I think, I don't want to apologize to that person. No way. And then God will speak or whatever. But that's the point. We need to be outside of ourselves and our voice and hearing his so that he can say things that completely fry us or take us out of our comfort zone. So if you're really logical and everything always looks really neat and tidy and agreeable to you, I'd suggest you haven't heard the voice of God in a long time. Or one of my other favourites as well, it's just a straight up, when we come to the Lord and we have a bit of a rant about something and then you're just waiting for it and you get a Johnny, you're wrong. And you need that. You need the Lord's rebuke to say, I'm hearing what you're saying, you're completely wrong. Forget it. Forgive, forget, humble yourself, you're wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. Fair enough. So, God's voice. I was going to read something to us from Psalm 29, but we're going to run out of time. But essentially, it's talking about God's voice. God's voice. Let me just turn to it. It's a great little... the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth like flames of fire. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. But you get this, he breaks the cedars. And you think, what does that mean? But they were... The cedars of Lebanon were like this picture of like the strongest, loftiest forest trees. But the voice of the Lord just breaks them. It's power, isn't it? The voice of the Lord is powerful. God's voice, when he speaks, brings assurance. To me, sat on a clifftop in Padstow, what happened? Something happened in me. God spoke to me and I knew God is real, actually. I've never believed in God in 18 years, but he's real. He brings assurance of our salvation, of our sonship, of our being his children. And when he speaks, he brings peace and joy. That's just what happens when God speaks. No matter what it is, even if it's rebuke, it always carries peace and joy. That's how you know God is speaking to you. Again, this was a moment for me years ago. You know the scripture of people say to each other, peace, peace. What's the thing? Basically, all is well. Peace, peace. Everything is fine. Oh, no. Peace, peace when there is no peace. That's it. It's an Old Testament thing, isn't it? People say, and this is what we do in the world. This is our culture. We all look at each other and say, peace, peace. It's fine. Don't worry. Everything's fine. There is no consequences. There's nothing that transcends this. It's fine. Peace, peace, peace. But it doesn't work, does it? And everyone's mental health is down the toilet because really we don't believe it. There's no power to it. When a secular society says, it's fine, it's fine. It doesn't satisfy the human heart. The human heart says, great, thanks, peace, peace. There is no peace. And we know it. And so the only person, this was my moment that I had a few years, the only person who can say to you, peace, and it mean anything or do anything, is the Holy Spirit. And when her Holy Spirit says to me, peace, Johnny, oh, then there's peace. But any other voice falls short. No matter how many times you might say to me, Johnny, look, let's look at it logically. This, and this. You don't need to worry. Don't worry. People will still worry, won't they? But when God says, peace, you don't need to worry, then it actually changes me. His voice is powerful. It brings assurance, peace, and joy. He's wise. When you hear God speak, you hear wisdom. And again, that's how we know, as his sheep, this is God speaking to me. That's wiser than I could have ever known. That's beyond me. I couldn't have thought of that. He's wise. He has ultimate authority to speak. And so when God speaks, that's it. It happens. It cannot be challenged. It cannot be undone. Supreme authority. God's voice is always scriptural. God will never say anything that is contrary to what you read and hear. The two things are completely one. His voice is holy because God is holy. And so when he speaks of his own holiness. And therefore, when God speaks, innately, there is a sense of awe that we feel in the presence of a holy, almighty, perfect God. So again, this is a good sign when God is speaking to you, or if you're in a meeting or something, there's always a sense of awe that accompanies his presence and his voice. So if something is overly flippant, or whatever you want to put, the awe of God. When God speaks, there is an appropriate awe because of his holiness and his majesty. The voice of God is calm and still. I have never heard God speak to me in a snap, or in a hurry, or in an inappropriately sort of raised voice. Rebuke, yes. Challenge, yes. Tellings off, yes. But his voice is still and calm. It's what parents strive for when they correct their children. And that's why you must never, ever, ever try lose your temper with your children. It happens, and you get but those moments are a moment of deep shame for a parent, because you think, God's never spoken to me like that. And so that's why when we correct our children, yes, correction, and but calm, still, and just full of love. The voice of God is love. It's loving, and it's relational. Again, it's not just, Lord, speak to me. Give me your instructions so I can follow them. That's not it. That's not the sum of everything. But it's relational. Sometimes the Lord just wants to speak to you, or just point something out to you of his beauty, or just tell you how much he loves you, or how much he cares for you. Or that's God's voice. And it builds us so deeply. Again, when someone else says, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. God loves you. God loves you. That's one thing. But when God himself says, yeah, Johnny, I do love you. You know, you're my precious son. Then, again, that carries so much more. It's convicting. The voice of the Lord brings conviction. Never condemnation. Two different things. Guilt, condemnation are not things that the Holy Spirit deals in. But conviction, yes. That moment of, Johnny, you're wrong. That's wrong. Turn and walk away from it. No problem. There's no shame or guilt attached to that, but a recognition of, you're right. You've convinced me that's wrong, and I'm sorry, and I repent, Lord. You know, there is no condemnation, no guilt, the heaviness that comes. That voice, the voice that brings the guilt and the shame and the heaviness of carrying, yeah, but I've done this. You know, don't you know I've done this? That is not the voice of God. Conviction is always as a route to escape to that, or deliverance from that thing, not a heaviness of guilt and shame. It's also, I'm going to finish now, the voice of God is discernible. That's where we started. My sheep, they know my voice. You hear God, and immediately you discern, that's the Lord. I've heard him. You hear a preach, you hear a song, you hear a conversation, you go to a home group, and there's always that moment of the Lord speaking. That was the Lord. God just spoke to me. His voice is discernible. And finally, the voice of the Lord, no matter what he's saying, even if it is conviction, or even if it is deep encouragement, or whatever it is, the voice of the Lord is life-giving. Because that's who God is. When God speaks, he speaks life. No matter what the content, it's life-giving. When you hear the voice of God, it breathes life into your soul as his creation, as his child. And that is why it's so important that we just simplify it to this. Lord, let me hear your, I'm listening, Lord. Let me hear your voice. Because it's life to us. You'll know this. If God hasn't spoken to you in a long time, or if God stops speaking to you, it's like water is cut off from your supply, isn't it? And thirst, you know, and then all you're left with is just stale, dry words on a page and duties and, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and all the life gets sucked from it. But as soon as God speaks to you again, or ministers, or touches you in some way, you come back to life. That's what his voice does. That's why we so desperately need to hear his voice. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to finish. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we are your sheep, first and foremost. We are yours. We belong to you. Lord, you pursued us. Lord, you came after us, and you brought us salvation, new life. Thank you, Lord. You brought us into your family. And then thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. You call us your own. And you speak, Lord, and we know the sound of your voice, Lord, and we follow you. Lord, I pray, Lord, for all of us this morning, clean our ears out, Lord, from the dross that we are just saturated in this world. There is so much noise and clutter and things that distract us, Lord. And I pray for me, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would take away those things this morning. And I pray nothing less, Lord, that we would hear your voice today. Lord, that tomorrow we would hear your voice, that next week we would be hearing from you, that next month, next year, whatever it is, Lord, that as your children, Lord, we would hear your voice and that we would follow you in all that you are saying to us. But Lord, speak to us. Speak to us as a church. Lord, I pray as we go to the conference as well, those who are going to the conference, speak to everyone that goes. Lord, speak to the children that go to the conference. Speak to everyone, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, praying that we would hear your voice above all the others. Lord, may we grow in this, Lord. May I grow in this, in knowing your voice, Lord. It is the source of our life. It's hearing that unmistakable sound of your voice and responding to it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you have, the authority, Lord, to transform our lives just through your words as we respond to you. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the smile of your grace on every life here this morning. And I do pray for each one of us that we would, yeah, Lord, have our ears cleaned out, and may we hear you in a fresh way going forward this week. Amen.